back, everybody, to the 9-8 podcast, the home of progressive and underground music here in Australia. My name is Alex Holger, and I am joined, as every fortnight, by Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all right. I've been a little bit better. I was unfortunately in a car accident this morning, so.
Oh, goodness.
I'm a bit sore, but otherwise alive, unless this is all a dream of the final bits of my brain finishing up as, you know, I'm sort of bleeding over the steering wheel.
What a horrible dream to go out with recording a podcast with you, mate.
Well, it could be worse. I mean, we could be talking about things which, you know, no one actually really gives a like pop music or something.
Or politics.
Or politics, yeah. Like, as I've said to you numerous times, I think we might be doing the wrong podcast, and with everything that's gone on this week in politics in Australia, which I'm sure our international
audience sure everybody
has,
knows about that one.
Oh, mate, what an absolute schmozzle it's been, right?
Mm-hmm. I made the joke that, it must be on somebody's calendar somewhere. To just, you know, oh, shit, are we supposed to have a spill today? Oh, all right, hang on. Let's schedule that one and, let's sack a prime minister.
I think I saw a really funny meme the other day. My girlfriend actually showed it to me, and it was, don't forget to change your smoke alarm batteries. Is a new prime minister installed? For those of you who don't know what that is, in Australia, we have this smoke alarm campaign where you're supposed to change your smoke alarm batteries every time we change from that daylight savings.
Yeah, it's like April 1st or something, isn't it? Because I don't have daylight savings here in Western Australia. We have to produce some other date to change the smoke alarms batteries around.
Yeah, because, of course, in this country, we can't all just unify and all have or all not have daylight savings.
Leave it. Leave it.
That would just be too.
Leave it.
Far too easy, wouldn't it?
Again, wrong podcast, Dave.
Wrong podcast. So I suppose with all the minor whinging out of the way, I mean, we've got some follow-up from last week. I see you've written down here, Hoggy. What are we talking about?
Yeah, so last time we were talking about some European bands, and I saw a link on one of the forums that I follow for the new record from a Prinish. Start that one again. So I saw a link for the new album from a Finnish prog psych band called Superfjord.
Mm-hmm.
They have a new album coming out sometime fairly shortly. I sent you this link before we started recording, Dave. What did you think?
I thought it was really, really cool. Probably not something that I'd necessarily turn on, and maybe it's a little bit of a grower on me. Mm. But not something I'd necessarily turn off either. It doesn't make me recoil in apprehension or anything like that after listening to it, which is a good sign. I should mention as well, just for the listeners, if you can hear some howling of winds and such, that's me. It is really, really wet and windy and just crappy here today in Sydney. And that would be the wind whistling around my apartment block. So apologies if you can hear that in the background.
I didn't like it. Oh, that's
I did
good.
Like Superfjord, yeah.
That's good. Yeah, I thought it was an interesting one. I'll be interested to see what the rest of the record turns out to be when that comes out. But I liked what I heard so far. So we'll absolutely put a link in the show notes for people to have listened for themselves. And the record label, the Svart Records, where people can buy this record if they like what they hear.
Mm, absolutely. Always good to support the prog world, I think, there, Hoggy.
Absolutely. So I guess we'll move on to the news, and the big news this week is...
Which was actually came out about 3 hours after we'd finished recording the episode, and unfortunately we didn't have time to re-record the episode due to Hoggy having to fly out for work. Ticketmaster is actually shutting down Get Me In and Seatwave, some of their resale sites, due to backlash. Hoggy?
and should be a surprise to absolutely nobody. Ticketmaster resale is still online.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course the Vile Viagogo as well, I believe there.
Yeah, I don't think those guys are going anywhere.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's kind of like herpes, the gift that keeps on giving.
Mm-hmm. How's the new, I was going to say that we mentioned a few weeks ago about New South Wales putting a cap on ticket resale prices. How's that working out?
I honestly don't know, because I don't even frequent these websites. I don't even visit them on a, you know, investigative level. I just don't care. So I
can't imagine Viagogo playing by the rules at all, though. They'll just continue to do whatever they want and big double middle fingers to the whole setup.
The big problem is, I mean, they're based in the US, so any of the laws that New South Wales Parliament passes does not affect them.
Are they based in the US?
Viagogo.
Yeah.
I think so.
Nah, their headquarters are in Geneva.
Oh, well, okay, Geneva, Switzerland, US, either which way, it's still out of Australia.
Yeah, like true. We just don't think they've managed to thumb the nose of all their EU laws as well, because they're like, wow, we're in Switzerland, we're not EU, fuck off, you know?
Yeah, I know. And parasites. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so there's that, and we can only hope that there's going to be more that are going to be sort of coming through. And the other big news of the week is
Dream Theater have been releasing a series of videos describing the update to their forthcoming record. And Joel Petrucci dropped an interesting tidbit there in one of the videos, is that Mike Mangini has contributed lyrics to the new record.
Yeah, which means the only person, I think, from the entire Dream Theater history who hasn't yet contributed lyrics is Rudess.
Yep. Derek Sherinian didn't write any lyrics either, but he contributed obviously musically to quite a few songs, but he didn't, I don't think he wrote any lyrics, unless he wrote one of the Nightmare Cinema lyrics, which he might have done.
I thought he wrote the lyrics for Lines in the Sand.
Nah, that was Mike.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, Derek wrote the music for it. Turns out we're all wrong. John Petrucci wrote the lyrics for that one.
Oh, there we go. We're all incorrect. How good is that?
Everybody's wrong.
But yes. I'm really excited to hear what Mangini comes up with lyrically. I think it's going to be an interesting departure, I suppose, from Petrucci and Labrie now that Mike has left the band, Mike One, and now that Mangini is in there, then... Or maybe it'll be a little bit of a callback to the yesteryear, maybe. I don't know.
Potentially. But the other thing that I thought was interesting is it seems like more than half the record now is going to have lyrics written by someone other than John Petrucci. Because as I'm sure we all know, is that all of the lyrics for The Astonishing were written by John Petrucci.
Yeah. And that kind of showed, I think, to be really honest.
Yeah, the less we could say about that album, the better, frankly.
Well, we know traditionally that John has been the storyteller. Portnoy has sort of been the touchy, not touchy feely, but the life experiences dude. And then you've got Labrie, who is more so like almost the political side of things.
Yeah,
so
yeah, he's written quite a few of those.
It might be really interesting to see what
Mike comes up with.
What Mike comes up with, yeah.
As far as I'm aware, I don't believe Mike Mangini has written lyrics for any of the other projects he's been on.
No, I don't think so. He probably hasn't had time when he's been playing in four different time signatures on all four limbs and then, you know, licking a lollipop at the same time in a different polyrhythm. I can't remember him actually writing any songs. Lyrically. Yeah,
lyrically. You know. Sure, he's been involved with music on a whole bunch of records, but I don't think he's ever written any lyrics. If anybody out there has anything to contradict us, please let us know.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to know if he had, you know, done that because... Yeah, I can't think of anything that he has done. But, hey, we're always happy to be proven wrong so long as we're wrong in the right direction.
Absolutely.
So massive news there from the Dream Theater camp.
Absolutely. The other big pieces of news that we have is there are several bands that are touring fairly fairly soon throughout this year. The first one that we wanted to quickly discuss is a band that you're rather familiar with, Dave, is Polyphia. So yeah. Tell me about Polyphia. What are they all about?
Polyphia, they're from Texas. They were actually mentioned in the Genetics episode a little while ago. I believe the boys from Genetics are quite big fans, and as am I. I really like them. They're sort of an instrumental prog outfit, but they're not instrumental prog in the vein of, say, Animals as Leaders or anything like that. It's more, I kind of call it light prog. It's not poppy or anything like that, but there's a lot less gain used and there's a lot more sort of overhand tapping and just really beautiful melody lines and things like that, rather than sort of heavy, genty kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. So a bit like there's another band that I quite like called Scale the Summit.
Kind of like that.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, in actual fact, if I just reach over to my phone here and pull up Spotify, Spotify, as I call it, good old Spotify, Polyphia. Because one thing I've got to say about Spotify is that the radio features and such are damn good. They're really good. So you can just click on it and they'll be like, show me more stuff that's like this. And it'll the actual algorithms and such are absolutely fantastic. Interval's Pliny. Their dogs were astronauts. Apparently that is a band that I now completely have to listen to. David Maxim Michich, Modern Day Babylon, that kind of stuff. Apparently, according to these are bands, some of these bands I haven't even heard of. So it looks like something I'm going to have to go and totally check out at some point. Definitely worth a check out if anyone here is interested in going. In Sydney, I think these guys are playing the Baldface Stag.
Yes, they are. They've got Intervals and Polyphia are the sort of main headline, and with special guests, so no doubt there will be some local opening acts. I've just got the link open here. Voyager will be opening for them in Perth.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
We've got James Norbert Ivani, I think is how you pronounce it.
I saw him, James Norbert Ivani, I saw him support Caligula's Horse here in Sydney, and he is fucking awesome.
Well, he's playing the one in Sydney, so you get to see him again.
Way!
Hey!
Still not as good as Voyager, you cock.
Well, this is what you get when you're in Perth. All the best bands are in Perth. Hi-oh!
We can't. I mean, it's Sydney. Seriously, it's kind of like you guys get the nice beer and we get the floaties in the bottom. I mean, seriously, it's just it's pathetic.
So they're playing
in Perth. Yep. They're playing the Amplifier Bar in Melbourne. They're playing the Corner Hotel here in Sydney. The Baldface Stag, and in Brisbane they're playing the Brightside. I guess all you could say that night they're going to be coming out of their cage.
So they've got, and also I've noticed in Sydney that the stage time starts earlier as well, starting at 6 o'clock. Gee, I wonder why that is.
Yeah, stage time starts at 6 in Sydney because where the Baldface Stag actually is, it backs onto a bunch of apartments. And we've spoken about this before. People who buy apartments after an already established venue is there and then start complaining about noise levels because fuck them.
So, yes, exactly.
You know, just anyway, let's move on from that one because there's two other massive people that have actually announced tours. One of them is someone you saw recently.
Yep. Roger Hodgson is touring Australia.
Woohoo! Roger Hodgson. Hells yeah, I'll be at that one.
Yep.
My groove on to some old Supertramp.
Absolutely.
Going on.
Yep. So they are touring early next year. Tickets have already gone on sale.
There you go.
So they will I'm hoping it sells out because I really hope he will come back again sometime very soon. It is, as I said in my Summer of Prog Jealousy special, that he is a fantastic performer live and that everybody should go and find. So they are playing in Sydney, in Melbourne, and in Perth. which stunned the hell out of me. When he's like, holy shit, he's coming to Perth. That's amazing.
Yeah, and he's skipping. Well, it's probably not such a amazement. There's not really a lot of amazement there to suggest that he's skipping Perth. I mean, sorry, skipping Adelaide.
Yeah, I was going to say, skipping Adelaide, him surprise is none.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's playing the State Theatre in Sydney, the Palais in Melbourne, and he is playing the Perth Convention and Exhibition Centre in Perth.
Fantastic.
So it looks like those are all now the State Theatre. I've been to see a show, but that's pretty much a theatre gig, isn't it?
State Theatre is actually really nice. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous place.
I think I saw a classical concert there once back in the day when I lived on the East Coast.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean,
which stands in. I mean, that makes sense because when I saw him play in Rotterdam, he was playing a theatre as well. He was playing the Luxor Theatre in Rotterdam, so that would make sense that it's continuing on with the theme of playing theatre gigs.
Yeah, and there's someone else who has announced an Australian tour who I am super keen to see, and I actually really want to take my dad, and that's Phil Collins.
Yep. Another artist that I've actually already seen before.
You just keep building that jealousy there,
yep.
Hoggy.
Absolutely. It's all the jealousy, every single day.
Resentment.
Yes. So this tour has been announced. This is part of his ongoing Not Dead Yet live tour. Because by gee, he certainly keeps kicking on.
Yeah. And it's, I mean kind of sad because he does have quite a few health issues.
The week before I went to see him in Paris, he took a tumble in his hotel room in London and had to postpone a few shows for when he was playing the Royal Albert Hall in London. They had to be rescheduled.
Bit upsetting, but it'll be interesting to hear him play and play a lot of those old, you know, 80s, amazing 80s hits, and maybe a couple of ones from Tarzan, which I was actually explaining to my girlfriend the other day. We were driving along in the car, and she said, have you heard any of the Tarzan stuff? And I've actually never seen the movie. So I sort of went, no, I haven't. So she put a few songs on, and they're good. Like, it's you know, it's Phil Collins. Of course they're going to be good, right? So to the shock of no one, I suppose.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it'd be nice to hear him do a couple of those as well and a couple of the other ones as well, a couple of the old favourites. So, yeah, playing around the country, Suncorp Stadium up in Brisbane. Kudos Bank Arena, obviously, here in Sydney. Adelaide Oval in Adelaide, I presume, unless there's an Adelaide Oval in Perth or something for some reason. Perth Arena there in Perth, and AAMI Park in Melbourne. And tickets go on sale, I think.
Sometime when
this podcast comes out, they'll be going on sale in a couple of days. So yeah,
September 5, 2018, for those of you who may be listening to the future.
Yep, and so, I think there's actually a pre-sale on the 30th as well for selected, you know, members of XYZ clubs and all this sort of crap that they do these days.
So I might have to look into that.
Absolutely.
I will warn you, though, the tickets when I saw him in Paris were definitely not cheap, so I would not be expecting these ones to be particularly cheap either.
Wouldn't surprise
me. Just as a point
me.
Of interest. I've just pulled up the set list from the show that I went to see in Paris. It was the same set list every night. So the songs that we have is we have Against All Odds, Another Day in Paradise, One More Night, Wake Up Call, Follow You, Follow Me, which is a Genesis song.
Absolutely.
Can't Turn Back the Years, I Missed Again, Hang In Long Enough, Separate Lives, Only You Know and I Know. And then there was a drum duet. Now, contrary to popular opinion, Phil Collins will not be playing anything on this particular tour. When I saw him in Paris, he literally walked onto the stage with his walking cane and sat down in a seat at the front of the set and didn't move for the whole day.
Oh, wow.
So he will not be playing anything. He's been quite public over the years about most of his health problems, so he is unable to play the drums or the piano anymore.
Or the piano.
No. His son, his 16-year-old son, Nick, is playing drums on this particular tour. He's quite good. as evidenced by they kick off the first set with a drum duet between him and the other drummer on the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the rest of the set goes, "I don't care anymore. Something happened on the way to heaven."
Yes.
You know what I mean, with Nick on the piano. And then all of the big hits that you would expect him to play: In the Air Tonight, You Can't Hurry Love, Dance into the Light, Invisible Touch, Easy Lover, and Sussudio.
Oh, very nice.
Sussudio, for me, unfortunately, is completely entangled with the movie American Psycho. If you've seen that movie, you know exactly which scene I'm talking about.
Yes.
And then the final encore, which is Take Me Home.
Okay, yeah, so Take Me Home that, as an
if
encore.
I had, I will put this set list in the show notes. If I had to hedge a bet, that is probably the set list you are going to get for the Australian shows, unless you just start to change it up.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably going to be the same.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, perfect. That's absolutely brilliant so far as the tours are concerned.
Yes.
You know, some really, really cool things. And there's a lot of others as well that are coming up in Australia as well. I mean, we've got Sleep Makes Waves and So I Watch You From Afar are also doing some stuff. If you're in Sydney, Melbourne or Brisbane, there's the Lagerfest coming up, which will be a lot of fun, as well as Negfest as well that's coming up. D's Nuts is touring. Panic at the Disco is touring, which will be awesome. And if anyone is here listening to that, listening to the podcast and going, I will see you there. And
I'm Tesseract is touring as well.
Absolutely. Tesseract, Parkway Drive, The Living End as well, for those who know who they are and, you know, are not from Australia. If you don't know who they are, they're like a rockabilly rock outfit from Australia, massive, massive rockabilly rock outfit from Australia. Fozzy, Stephen Wilson, obviously, Joe Satriani, Camelot, Living Colour. So there's quite a few really good gigs coming up for the rest of the year, which is actually going to be bloody, bloody fantastic. And maybe we'll get some live recordings of some of those as well, which actually brings us to another piece of news, which is Opeth is releasing a live set performed at Red Rocks.
Yep. So they recorded a show at Red Rocks, which I believe that's in Colorado, I think, from memory.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, very famous venue. Lots of... I know Rush talked about how much they liked playing there back in the day when you could actually fit everybody into a Rush concert there before they outgrew that place and moved on.
Mm-hmm.
There are a couple of song. There are some new stuff, some old stuff. So this, of course, being somewhat of an Opeth fan, although not a super big fan, always produces an interesting discussion surrounding the new stuff versus the old stuff.
Uh-huh, yep.
Because the newer stuff of Opeth is obviously much more melodic and sort of a bit retro-sounding in some way, where the older stuff is all sort of growly death metal.
Yeah.
I'm going to nail my colours to the mast. I was never a particularly big fan of the older growly stuff. I know. I've got a couple lot of angry emails about this one, but I tend to prefer the newer stuff.
Yeah, I'm a bit more of a fan of the newer stuff as well, but that's mostly because I'm not a fan paper of sand. I'm going to start that again. Mm-hmm. I tend to agree with you on that. I'm much more of a fan of the newer stuff, and I think that's mostly because I'm not a fan of sandpaper vocals in general. They can be used with great effect, I think, but... most of the time, if you are in a band, you know, I like to hear what people are singing about. I'd rather hear someone like LaBrie doing his vocals rather than some guy grabbing a microphone and sort of doing the sort of stuff. It just leaves me really cold.
It's interesting,
and I'm sorry to all the fans out there who do that, but, you know.
It's interesting you call it sandpaper vocals, because I've heard it described as Cookie Monster vocals. Much the same way that it sort of sounds like the Cookie Monster.
Yes, indeed.
Cookie! Yeah. C is for cookie. And so on.
M is for metal. You've got another last piece of news here for the podcast of this week, which is something here. I've got Reductio ad absurdum, what is that about?
So this is an album, but this is actually an album that I've only recently discovered by a band called Instrumental. From us, they are an Australian band. They released an album a couple of months back that I think everybody should give a listen to. If you are a fan of King Crimson, for example, you will probably enjoy this record. This particular album is only, it's only got three songs on it, so it's not like the album that we recommended people listen to last week, which had three tracks of half an hour long each. This one is much shorter, and I really enjoyed this album, and I think people should give it a listen. And so I'm going to put that one in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you did actually send this through to me a little bit earlier in the piece. I think it was about a week ago now, and I took a little bit of a listen to it. And I got to say, I think it's a little bit too far in the experimental jazz area for me. It's just a little bit all over the place. But cool nonetheless. Like, I'm a firm believer in there's no such thing as bad music. There's only music that makes other music sound better. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily turn it on, but I probably wouldn't necessarily turn it off either.
Fair enough. I think this illustrates a fundamental difference in the way that you and I listen to music, Dave. I think you said you... I've recommended a few of these types of albums for you to listen to, and while I think that they are amazing and different, this is not necessarily something that floats your boat. Is that a fair statement to make?
There are bits and pieces of it that I listen to and I go, okay, that's actually really, really cool, and I understand what's going on completely. I can sit there and I can analyze it and so on and so forth. But when I'm listening to music like that sort of stuff, I don't know. It just doesn't. Just doesn't gel with me. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't do anything for me. I'm not saying it's bad. It's just not something that I sit there and go, oh yeah, that's actually really cool. I tend to listen to it and go, okay, yeah, I see what you're doing. It's fair.
Fair enough. You know
what I mean? But by all means, it's not bad. It's just not 100% my cup of tea. And I suppose that translates sometimes as well into a lot of – I listen to a lot of foreign – what I would call foreign music as well, so a lot of stuff in different languages, particularly German, but also French and, you know, Flemish and Russian and, you know, even now, and probably a perfect segue actually onto this week's main topic, which is our music not from the Western world, you know, places like India and Japan and so on and so forth. So even those, they will actually keep my interest a lot more than stuff like that will. I'm not quite sure why. I should probably sit down and have a think about that actually sometime.
Or maybe not. Maybe just, you know, whatever's good is good and whatever you like is what you like.
Exactly.
So we prefaced this in the last show that we were going to continue on from our theme of talking about music from other parts of the world. Mm. And this week we have a couple of bands from various parts of Asia. Most notably, I'm going to call out three different countries. So we have some bands from Japan, we have some bands from India, and we have some bands from Iran. Now, we were talking earlier about bands that are going to be touring sometime soon, and the first one that I think we can have a bit of a talk about is a Japanese metal band called Baby Metal.
Oh, yes. Good old Baby Metal. These guys are fantastic. How much do you know about them, Hoggy?
Well, I know enough to know that they're not guys. There's actually three ladies who are the singers in this particular band.
This is true.
A metal band.
Correct. So these guys popped onto the scene a couple of years ago. I think from memory around about 2014, they sort of became known internationally with a song called Gimme Chocolate. If you haven't heard it, I can't do it justice. I can't really do justice to these guys, ladies of metal, without just flat out showing you some stuff. So I'm just going to play about 25 seconds of their breakout hit, at least a breakout hit in the Western world, called Gimme Chocolate. So this is Baby Metal, Gimme Chocolate. Gimme Chocolate. crazy metal style from these three girls from Japan. What did you think when you first heard them?
My first impression, and I just listened to the music without actually looking up anything about the band at all, my first impression was that they sounded a bit like Dragon Force, which is hardly surprising because Dragon Force sort of take their influences from a lot of video games, sort of chiptune type music. So it's hardly surprising, the chiptune came first and then Dragon Force, then these guys. So not an unreasonable thing to sort of make sense of. But the other thing that I found out about this particular band is that the three ladies who sing at, fronting the band and singing, are not the ones writing the music.
No, they're not. No. They are actually J-pop stars, the three of them. And they had never heard of metal music before they got approached by, I think they got approached by a label. I can't remember exactly who approached them. But someone had the bright idea to put the three of them fronting a metal band together. And they sort of went, what is metal? So they played them some stuff and they went, I don't know, maybe it could work. And now they're like selling out arenas around the world. So glad they took a punt on that.
They opened for Lady Gaga at one point on one of her tours in some part of the world.
Now that I didn't know.
Yep, they opened for Lady Gaga.
Knowing Lady Gaga, that kind of doesn't surprise me, but Baby Metal opening for really?
Yep. They opened her Art Rave, the Art Pop Ball 2014 tour along the west coast of the US.
Wow. And in the US?
Huh. Yep. Oh, also as well, now I understand why the first song that I listened to of theirs was a song called Road of Resistance. Shock surprise, that was actually written in collaboration with the guys of Dragon Force. So, no wonder they sound like Dragon Force.
There you go. There it is. They have their latest sort of single track, I suppose, is one called Karate. And it was released exclusively here in Australia on Triple J, the announcement, the first like reveal of it. And I remember driving along and it got announced and they played it for the first time. And I'm driving along, I'm like, this is sick. Who is this? This is amazing. And then they started singing. I'm like, oh, this is Baby Metal. Yes. Turned it up a little bit more as I'm driving along. But a great example of stuff coming out of Japan at the moment. And there has been some stuff coming out of Japan at the present moment that's absolutely fantastic. And I should mention as well that Baby Metal are actually playing at Good Things Festival. Good Things Festival a little bit later on in the year, which is going to be a hell of a lot of fun, I think.
Well, yeah, we've got The Offspring and Stone Sour headlining, so that should be good fun.
Damn right. And, I mean, some of the other people that are going to be on the bill as well is just going to be, a hell of a lot of fun for the actual gig. But another band that's coming out of Japan at the moment is Crossfaith. Now, I actually saw these guys a few years ago. I can't remember who it was that they supported, but it was at the Annandale Hotel back when the Annandale Hotel had live music before all the neighbours whinged. And they are so cool. They're really, really, really cool. It seems like a lot of the stuff coming out of Japan is either crazy tech sort of stuff or, glitchy kind of, that sort of, as you said, that sort of weird cross between video game music and synths and so on and so forth and metal music. Yeah.
Was this in this particular gig that you went to go and see? Was that in 2013?
Could have been.
They were probably supporting Periphery.
That was it. Yeah, it was Periphery. You're exactly correct. There we go. Yep.
So Crossfaith actually had a new album out at the start of this month. That was the one that I listened to.
They did indeed.
I rather enjoyed it, actually. It's interesting the mix between music that sounds like Skrillex and music that sounds like the sort of new wave of American heavy metal.
Absolutely.
That's an interesting mix. You don't sort of hear that one all that often.
No, not at all. And I think this is something that goes back to something I said in a previous episode. You know, Skrillex and that whole dubstep sort of area is really the metal music of EDM. And then to mix it with the new wave of American heavy metal kind of actually makes sense in some sort of a weird way, at least in my mind anyway. And, I mean, my mind works in mysterious ways anyway, so.
Who's doesn't?
Yeah, but that's true. So, you know, I mean, it's certainly, you know, very, very, very cool. Who else did you take a listen to out of Japan?
There's another band actually that I've been a bit of a fan of for quite a while. It's called Boris.
Yes.
Now these guys are pretty much good old fashioned doom metal.
Fantastic.
Lots of slow tempos, big guitar sounds. You know, lots of detuned stuff, sort of like the Melvins in a sort of way. So I quite enjoy listening to Boris. I believe Boris actually played a couple of shows. They may have toured here very recently, and I'm pretty sure Tangled Thoughts of Leaving were supporting as well. That's probably where I ended up seeing Boris, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one that I enjoy. Another band, which I know I'll get a cop flag if I don't mention it, so I'll just mention it anyway, the Japanese post-rock band Mono.
Yep.
I think I've name-checked those guys before as the only gig that I ever walked out on.
Yes, you did.
Yep.
So let's leave that one on the side.
Yep, and I think they have another album coming out sometime fairly shortly.
Maybe.
Thought I saw something about that kicking around. So, you've got another one here that you've mentioned here, Dave. X Japan.
Yep. Probably one of my favorite Japanese metal bands. They're predominantly speed / power metal kind of stuff, as a lot of stuff that comes out of Japan is, because it all sounds like the Akira theme. later in their career, they sort of went towards more a prog side of things, towards the end in Dahlia and Art of Life and things like that, which were extremely, extremely cool albums. But, you know, primarily that kind of, you know, galloping, more modern Iron Maiden kind of sound, which we've come to recognize as being a very quintessential Japanese metal sound, you know, with all the people in business suits up the front headbanging, which is something that I don't understand, but is clearly a very normal thing in Japan. So I really like these guys. They've had a lot of lineup changes
Been around since the early 80s, haven't they? They've been around for a very long time. You were talking earlier about different reactions to metal music and business guys headbanging in the front row. That reminds me of a story about, I'll have to see if I can find the story and put it in the show notes, but there was a metal band playing in China, and all these guys it's obviously several years ago, when China was sort of just opening itself up to the West, as it was, and they were listening to metal music, and they sort of felt the energy in the room but didn't really know what to do with it. So apparently there are all these guys doing push-ups in the room instead of headbanging to this metal music.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's weird.
I'll see if I can find it in the show notes and put it in the show notes.
But I mean, there's a lot more so far as Japanese metal and such is concerned that's obviously coming out of Japan, but let's not dwell on Japan because I think everybody knows that Japan has quite a big metal scene. Two other areas that you mentioned, one being India and one being Iran, both not exactly synonymous with metal, yet have a very flourishing metal scene. You've got a guy here from India called Yatin Srivastava. Sorry, I know I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly.
Srivastava, I think, is how you pronounce it.
Srivastava, there you go. It's the Yatin Srivastava project.
This particular project is not necessarily a metal project. It's more sort of in the classical progressive elements. There's a lot of the sort of Indian, not necessarily Indian instrumentation, but sort of Indian scales and that sort of stuff, and certainly a slightly Eastern kind of mode to it. Which is quite interesting and something that I think people should give a listen to if they're interested in that style of music. Definitely not a metal thing. This is more sort of your traditional, quote unquote, traditional progressive rock sort of elements.
Absolutely. And one band that I placed on this list as well was a band called Bloodywood, who are, it's obviously a play on of Bollywood, from India. And these guys are sort of your more traditional kinds of, you know, metal, but they are experimenting, I suppose, with, you know, scratch plates and things like that. A really cool mix of like Linkin Park kind of stuff to like Periphery. So it's kind of like halfway between the two. Really, really, really fun stuff. Yeah, and they obviously throw in a lot of Indian percussion instruments and you know, scales and things like that as well, which makes it absolutely brilliant to listen to.
Yeah, the stuff that I listened to from Bloodywood was definitely more towards the Periphery end than the Linkin Park end. I didn't get a chance to listen to everything that they'd put out, but that was certainly certainly my experience of it was that more towards the Periphery end. Still really good stuff, and people we'll throw links to the show notes in the show notes for all this stuff so people can have a listen.
Fantastic. Always good to keep our listeners interested.
Absolutely.
In stuff.
So the final country that we were going to have a quick little talk about is Iran, and there were three bands that I'm going to mention here. The first one is a band called Across the Waves, which is more a sort of post-rock kind of outfit. I really like post-rock. There is some post-rock that is pretty sort of boring, not mentioning any names, of course. Mono. But these guys are really good. They do it very, very well. So there's one to name check, and there's another band called Mavara. Different sort of thing, sort of weaving different sort of progressive styles together to come up with something that's quite interesting. The last one that I was going to mention and sort of bring this all neatly back around to the start again for us is an artist called Salim Ghazi Saeed.
Yes.
He is a guitar player in the similar sort of vein as Pliny, sort of instrumental solo guitar music, but definitely with a really, really heavy Middle Eastern influence. Originally from Iran, but while I was listening to some of his music, I was having a read of his website, and turns out he's migrated to Australia now.
There you go.
So not 100% sure where in Australia he ended up, but definitely someone to keep an eye out for if you see his name pop up on a tour poster somewhere in your part of the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know where he's – I've not heard of the guy, so I'm not sure exactly where he's from either, as in where he's living in Australia now, but definitely worth checking out. I mean, they're all pretty incredible artists. I mean
– I've just done a quick search here for the gentleman. It turns up on Facebook here. He ended up in Brisbane.
Yeah, I was going to say he wouldn't have been in Sydney because there's no music scene here. But he's not.
I thought he would have been. Maybe Melbourne or something like that. But yeah, Brisbane.
Yeah, there you go. So I mean, that's a very light taste of some of the non-Western prog outfits that are around in the Asia region, sort of in at the moment, and sort of just crossing across into the Middle East a little bit there as well with Iran. So I presume next week we're going to be talking about the South American continent and all the crazy stuff that comes out of there. Obviously, South Americans being massive Dream Theater fans.
Oh, absolutely. So, big Dream Theater fans, big Rush fans, big Metallica fans, big pretty much anything fans. And certainly a lot of stuff influenced by, I suppose, the biggest South American band that I can think of that comes to mind would probably be Sepultura, with the sort of mixing of metal with sort of traditional Brazilian music. So, and there's certainly some stuff out there that's probably influenced by those guys as well. So that might be we'll continue our journey around the world and cover South America.
Absolutely. Always good, I think, to continue the journey around the world, especially for people who maybe don't get out of their normal listening habits as much. And I don't do it as much as I would like to, I will admit. So
neither do I. I try very hard to, but it's so difficult these days with so much music out there.
Absolutely.
And of course, if there are any music, if there is any music from your part of the world, I know there are a lot more countries in the various regions that we have already talked about. So if you've got anything out there that you want us to hear, tweet at us, email us, get involved on our Facebook page. Links to all that will be in our show notes. So definitely, you know, send us some feedback if there's something in your part of the world that you want us to hear.
Absolutely. We always enjoy hearing from the fans of the show and with any suggestions that you guys might have. So I think that probably swiftly brings us to the album review for this week, Hoggy.
Yep. So last week I suggested that you should listen to Eric Gillette's solo album.
Oh, yeah.
Afterthought. So what did you think?
I loved it.
That surprising, to be honest.
I know, it's really not surprising. I mean, the guy's basically a new John Petrucci. But it was so cool. I want to point out in particular one track, which was Lost. That was stupid cool. Stupid cool. It was, you know, nice and proggy and had all the bits and bobs that I could possibly want for anything from another album that I hadn't yet heard from. So, just do yourselves a favor. If you haven't heard this album, go out, buy it and listen to it. It is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, as I mentioned in the show notes last week, after we finished recording that episode and I was putting together the show notes, I quickly discovered that this album is not available on any streaming service that I could lay my hands on. Mm-hmm. So if you want to listen to this record, you're going to have to do as we have done and buy it.
Absolutely.
No surprise there that you picked out the 22 minute long track on the album when everything else is sort of around the 5 to 6 minute mark.
Yeah, no surprise at all. I think honestly it is actually the best track on the entire album. I actually really like it, and it's not because it's 22 minutes, it's because I actually really, really, really like it.
I think I'm right in saying, I would have to check the liner notes to confirm, but I'm pretty sure that Eric Gillette played absolutely everything on that record. Drums, bass, keyboards, guitar, obviously, vocals. I think he had some contributions from Neil Morse as well on that record, but I'm pretty sure everything is all him.
Wouldn't surprise me. The true definition wicked, of a solo record. Talented. Yeah, he's wicked talented, that guy.
Yep.
So Eric Gillette. Very good. Definitely go out and buy it. Would you say the same of the album that I recommended for you, Hoggy? I recommended you an album by a group called Hidden Citizens, and the album is called Reawakenings. What did you think?
I really enjoyed it just for the novelty factor. I mean, they all do sound like they could be trailer songs for the next James Bond movie.
Well, there is a reason why they call them epic trailer version of.
Absolutely. You know. Some of the songs on the record, obviously, I'm quite familiar with. I mean, A-ha's Take On Me, which is one that you specifically called out for me to listen to. I rather enjoyed that one. Some of the other songs I wasn't necessarily that familiar with, so I had to go and listen to the studio versions of those songs. I think they're all done. They're all done very well, all very thematically interesting. There was a version that I did uncover of A-ha themselves doing Take On Me acoustically, which I think is an interesting version, which I will throw that into the show notes for people to have a listen to.
Fantastic, fantastic. Is that the one they do live on MTV Unplugged? Or
I think so. I think it is.
It's really cool. It's such a different – takes on a completely different – feeling the whole song. It's just great.
Yeah.
So, out of curiosity, what did you think of the Land of Confusion version?
I really liked that one. I mean, that's the second different band I've heard do that one. Obviously, the original song by Genesis and then the Disturbed cover. Mm-hmm. So, I really liked that one as well, actually. I thought it was was pretty good. Would I listen to? Would I sit down and listen to the record? You know, sit down with my headphones on and, you know, listen to it. Not necessarily, but it's still an interesting and enjoyable exercise to sit down and listen to.
Oh, absolutely. It's I really like it. I just enjoy enjoyed the album, and I thought, you know what, they definitely you need to have a listen to it. Yeah, so it's good to hear that you enjoyed it, enjoyed that album. Tell me, Hoggy, what's on my plate? What have I got to put between my ears this week?
So, you are familiar with the side project Levin Miniman Rudis?
Hell yes, I absolutely love it. It's brilliant.
Did you know they had a second album?
Clearly, I don't love it enough. No, so, I didn't realize.
Okay, so there is a second album called From the Law Offices of Levin Miniman Rudis. Because it does sort of sound a bit like a law firm. Give that a listen.
Okay, all right. I'll have to give that one a spin and let you know what I think.
All right. What have you got for me?
Okay, so there's a band, I believe they're from the US, called the Lydian Collective. Have you heard of them?
I have not.
So they did they started on YouTube just doing jamming around and just, you know, doing a lot of really, really cool jams in a studio. And now they've released an album. And it is called Adventure by the Lydian Collective, obviously. So definitely that's what I'm going to be giving to you is Adventure by the Lydian Collective. Which is an extremely fun album, in my opinion. But, yeah, definitely worthwhile you having a listen.
Okay. All right. I think that just about does it for the show today, doesn't it?
I think it does. Yeah, it's a bit of a shorter show today, but that's probably not such a bad thing. We've had some pretty long ones over the last couple.
Yeah, we sure have.
So what are we going to be talking about next fortnight, in a couple of weeks' time, Hoggy?
So we're going to continue our run around the world with all things prog, and we'll be discussing some bands from South America. Also, by the time we record next time, the new Pineapple Thief album will be out.
Fantastic.
So we will be discussing that as well.
Beautiful.
So I'm sure you are all eagerly anticipating the release of that album.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, of course, we'll be keeping you up to date with the news of what's happened in the world of prog and music over the last couple of weeks and reviewing the albums that we have given to each other and hopefully you guys have listened to as well during the fortnight that we have been apart. So thank you all very much once again for listening to the 9-8 podcast right here on the interwebs. My name is David Ellis.
And my name is Alex Hogg, and we shall see you all next time.
See you then.
Adios.